If you turn your Bibles to the book of John, John 6. Yes. But anyway, you know, I love to see our kids, but we have had a shortage of kids here lately, if y'all have noticed. You know, and that's what Sister Christy is trying to do, is trying to get more kids. You know, there's a mission field out there, not only in Africa and Haiti and other places. You know, there's a mission field right here in Watertown. There's so many children that are unchurched. There's so many children that are around in these different housing projects. You know, up here on Route 3, they have two of them up there. They got one right behind us over here. There's so many children. And we need to get out and encourage the parents to send their children. If the parents don't want to come, have them send the children. And the children will go home and tell the parents about Jesus Christ. So, you know, I'm so thankful. And I hope and pray that you guys will get involved with this. That you guys will get involved so we can get have just a whole church full of children. In the book of John, the 6th chapter, end of 28th verse, I'm going to start here. And this is the time when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the two fish and five loaves. He fed the 5,000, it said men, but they had women and children also. So we're you know, conservative, maybe 15,000. But it was more than that, because I'm sure that most people had more than one child. But anyway, the miracle of him feeding the multitudes. And so they followed him. You know, after he left, they followed him. And verse 28 says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" What do we need to do, Jesus? What type of work do we need to do to do the works of God? And Jesus answered, said to them, "This is the work of God." Notice they said works of God, and he said, no, not works. He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Not knocking on doors, not going fixing meals for the homeless, and all of that's good now. But see, that's not going to get you into eternal life with Jesus Christ. He said, all of these things that you want to do, all of these programs and ceremonies and things that you're thinking you need to do, he said, no, none of that. Because eternal life comes by faith. It's a free gift. All we have to do is accept it. You can't work for it. But so many people, they think that I have to be doing things in order to earn my salvation. That's not true. That's not true. Now, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not work for your salvation. Working it out means what God has put in you through the Holy Spirit, that you will transport that out of you. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Work that out of you, what God has put in you, not work for it. And he says that you believe on him, whom he has sent. And they said, therefore, unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe what thou doest work?" So they said, now, we need some more proof that you are the one that came from God. They just was fed. Now, they just was fed with two fish and five loaves. But you know what? They forgot about that. How many times we forget about when we see God doing things and we have our own agenda? We have our own agenda, how we should work it out. And it says that our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it was written, "He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. See, they were talking about Moses. See, what they did, they had their eyes on man and didn't have their eyes on God. They said, well, Moses gave us bread from heaven. No, Moses didn't give them nothing because Moses had nothing to give them. Moses prayed, and God gave the increase, you see. Some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. I can't heal you, but God can. I can pray for your healing. You know, I can pray for different things for you, deliverance and things of that nature, but only God can do that. So be careful of people talking about, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to deliver you. Only God can do that. Now, we can pray for that and believe for that, but it only comes from God. And then it says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, who is that? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Ain't that what he said? Now, the bread that they had back in the desert when they came out of Egypt, it sustained them for one day. For one day, it provided for them sustenance, you know, for them to eat and have nourishment and things. One day at a time. They had to gather it one day. They couldn't hoard it. They couldn't put it up, you know, because God said, no. Give us this day our daily bread. See, we have to be relying on him every day. You can't have a stash. You gotta rely on him every day. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, that stash. But no, you can't stash Jesus. You got to come to him every day for our provision. And it says that, and then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, we want this bread that you're talking about that comes down from heaven. And Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. They had no idea who was talking to them. See, they had seen him perform miracles, but yet still in their minds, they did not perceive him as the bread of life. They did not perceive him as the Son of God. They did not perceive him as their Redeemer. They were perceiving as somebody they could get something from. What can I get from you, Jesus? What can I get? You know, John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I love that. I love that. So many, you know, we want to get. Give me this. Lord, I ask you to bless me. And God does bless. Absolutely. And we should ask for blessings. Absolutely we should. But that should not be the reason why you serve God, is to get. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me read that again, because that's so profound. So profound. He told the woman at the well the same thing, pretty much. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Well, wait a minute. You know, I have to eat two or three times a day to be satisfied. Huh? Yes, I have to eat two or three times a day to be satisfied, you know, to keep from being hungry. I have to drink liquids, you know, daily to keep from thirsting, right? That's in the natural. See, he's not talking about the natural. He's talking about the supernatural. Because you know why? Because he's a supernatural Jesus. He says, I am the bread of life. He said, and if you come to me and receive me, you will never hunger or thirst ever again. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. How was that so? And he says, and all that the Father, and I said unto you, that you also have seen me and believe me not. You also have seen me. You saw me do the works of God. You saw me feed the 5,000 plus. You've seen me heal the sick. You seen me open the blind's eye. You seen me raise the dead. But you still don't believe me. What would it take for a person to see all of these miracles and still not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, he's the promised one? What is it that's keeping people in the dark about Jesus? What is it that kept us in the dark about Jesus for so many years? Because we had our eyes and our minds and our thoughts on the world and the things of the world. We have our minds and our thoughts and our eyes on things that will gratify us and please us. Me, my eye. There we go. Me, my eye again. Jesus says, count the cost before you even come to me. Count what it's going to cost you. Well, how much is it going to cost me, Jesus? A year's salary? No, no, no. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your very life. And if you're not willing to surrender everything, not 99.999, but if you're not willing to surrender everything, you can have no part of me, you see. But we're living in a world now, especially in the Church of America and Europe, whereas they want a little bit of God, but a lot of the world. They're trying to have both. You know the old saying, having your cake and eat it too? You can't do that. You got to choose who you're going to serve, who you're going to love. Who are you going to open up your life to that you're going to be their servant? There's only two. Either you're going to serve Satan or you're going to serve God. One or two. Can't be, and there's no middle ground there. There's no middle ground. And he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Uh-oh. That sounds like predestination. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care how much crime, alcohol, drugs, or whatever else that you've done in your life. He says, when the Father calls you and gives you to his Son, he says, you're going to be mine, regardless of your past, because I'm going to make you new. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a whole new nature. I'm going to give you a whole new life. That old life that you used to live is gone now. But only one thing that you need to do is believe on me. And the only way that you can believe on him is the Father draws you. Now, I looked at that word draw. And when you look at it, you know, in the old language, the Greek, it means drag. It says drag. The Father drug me. You know, because I didn't want to come. In order to drag something, there's resistance, isn't it? He drug you also. Thank God that he drug you. Thank God that he drug you to him. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And a lot of you were not willing, really willing to come. But see, I knew from the foundation of the world who would say yes and amen. I knew who would come and say yes and amen. And I know those who will not come and say yes and amen. Ooh. That is hard to take, isn't it? That's hard to take. I'm not going to get into that because that's a big argument within the church today at predestination. God has given us a free will. Absolutely, we have. Many are called, but few are chosen. Absolutely, it's true. But when the Father calls you, let me tell you something. There has to be a surrendering. There has to be a surrendering. So he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Not to do what I want, not to do me, mine, I, but to do what my Father in heaven has called me, commissioned me, and sent me down here to do. And then it says, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me." This is what God wants of me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose none, but should raise it up again in the last day, that all of those that God brings into me, I will lose none. Did you read that? Did you read that? Let me read that again. "And this is the will of him who sent me." This is the will of God. This is God's will. This is what he wants. "That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days." Everybody who God has, who has drugged to Jesus, he says, "I will not lose you." He says, "But in the last days, I will raise you up to be with me in paradise forever." How good is that? See, that's the good news. Regardless of what happens here on earth, regardless of what sickness or pains or accidents that we might endure here, and we all have them, storms of life, trials, tribulations. He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "On the last day, I'm going to raise you up to be with me where I am." He said, "I have prepared a place for you. And if I've prepared a place for you," he says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." And he says, "And where I am, you will be also." Where I am, you will be also. That's in John 14. Where is Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. Where I am, you will be also. How good is that? We should be shouting right about now. You know, we're talking about gas going up, NIMO going up. You know, all the room wars and rumors of war and all that kind of stuff there. Is it happening? Yes, it is. But let me tell you something. Our focus is not on how much the gas is, how much, you know, Niagara Mohawk is going to put on your gas, on your thing. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, he's going to provide for you. If gas go to $15 a gallon, let me tell you something, God's going to provide. Some of y'all might have to do some biking and walking, but God's going to provide to get you where you need to get to going. And this is what he says. "And the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven." Now notice what it said. The Jews, God's chosen people, people who God has chosen to be his people, to be set apart, to be different from the world. But yet here they are, they're murmuring. Do you know what the word murmuring mean? Complaining, whining. Yes. They're complaining and whining because Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." See, they still didn't have an understanding. They still didn't have a supernatural understand. They were still thinking with their natural minds. They couldn't understand. They couldn't get over that hump of the supernatural. How many of us have lived our life with the natural mind, the natural eye, the natural ear? Oh, God said, "No, no, no. I am of the supernatural." No, no, no. Yes, you're living in a natural world, but you're not of the world for those who are in Christ. So we need to start having a different mindset, church. And when we have a different mindset, it says that you have the renewing of your mind. See, we need to have our mind renewed each and every day to truly hear what Jesus is saying to us. what the Word of God is truly saying to us, not just words on a page. This is a living Word. And if we open up ourselves to read this in a supernatural way, let me tell you something. It'll bless your socks off. The revelation that you will get from this, the joy that you will get from this, the peace that you will get from this, the wisdom that you will get from this. Oh, my goodness. But none of us have obtained all of it. None of us. Never will. All of it. But listen to what he says. He said, and they murmured. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? We know his daddy. And he's talking about, I'm the bread of life. He's talking about, I come down from heaven from my father. Wait a minute. I know Joseph. He's a carpenter. Matter of fact, he made my kitchen table. And he's talking about he's come down from heaven, the bread of life. What is he talking about? I knew him when he's a little boy running around, snotty nose. Whose father and his mother we know. We know them. What is he talking about? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? What is wrong with him? Something is wrong with him. Huh? But nothing was wrong with him. Something was wrong with them. You see, they're still operating in the natural. They're still operating in the natural. And listen to what it says. And it says that thank you. And Jesus answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. Quit complaining. Quit whining. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So evidently, these whiners and murmurers had not been called, had not been brought forth yet. And I say yet, because as long as you're breathing, there's hope. As long as you're breathing, there's hope. Jesus, remember me. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Oh, wait a minute. What church did he go to? Huh? He was a thief. None of his parents, his siblings, his buddies, the teachers in school ever thought that this man was going to heaven. But right at that last moment, Jesus, remember me. And that sounds like just very few words, but it's so powerful, the content of that. Because what he is saying is, because I know that you are sent from above. I know that. So, Lord, remember me when you go to ascend into the Heavenly Father. Because I believe. See, there you go. That's I believe. That's that belief. I believe that you are who you say that you are. It really don't make too much sense when I look at it in the natural, because you nailed up here on the cross just like I am. See, you up here just like I am. But it's something a little different, though. There's something different about you, though. And then it says, 45, it is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father, cometh to me. Everybody who has heard and learned from the Father. Everybody who has heard with their spiritual ears and learned with their spiritual mindset, he says, cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is God, is of God. He that seeth the Father, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. He says, I'm trying to tell you something that will give you life everlasting, eternity in heaven. He says, I am the bread of life. Here we go again. I am the bread of life again. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He said, I am the bread of life, and I will give you eternal life. But the bread that your fathers ate that you brought up to me, they're dead. But I'm trying to tell you something about eternal life. I'm trying to tell you something about that you will have life eternal with me in paradise. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He said, the bread that they ate is a whole different thing that I'm talking about. He said, the bread that they eat, it came down from heaven. God brought the manna down. Absolutely, he did. It was God that did that. He said, but now in this new dispensation, he says, that bread that nourished them for 40 years in the desert, that kept them from starving, he says, that's a different type of bread that I'm talking about. That's a whole different type of bread that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a supernatural bread, and I am the bread of life. I'm the only one can give you eternal life. And he says, and if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, who is righteous? Jesus. If you hunger and thirst, he says, if you, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right, for they shall be. Shall, what's the rest of it? Lord have mercy. Yes, they shall be satisfied. They will not hunger and thirst anymore. You see. If you truly have a hunger and a thirst for supernatural, not for a Popeyes that ain't open yet. It's coming. Coming. Praise the Lord. But he's talking about this bread, which is he is, that you don't have to worry about hungering and thirsting ever and ever again. You are satisfied with Jesus. Jesus Christ, period. Not Jesus Christ plus, but Jesus Christ, period, and you will be satisfied. You will be filled. And you don't want nothing else but Jesus. You see, there's nothing else can satisfy you. There's nothing else that you desire but Jesus Christ, period. Is that where we are today, church? Some say yes, some ain't said nothing. But it's a process. It's a process. Yielding your life to Jesus is not a event, not just an event. It's a daily process, a commitment of obedience. A daily process, a commitment of obedience, day after day after day after day. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. Isn't that what he said? Now, he says, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, here we are again. He's speaking spiritual, and they're hearing worldly. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know throughout the Bible, and Brother Al has been doing the book of Revelation, you know, and it says, he who has ears to hear what the word, hear what the scriptures say. Not just read the word or hear it from him, but hear it with our spiritual ears. He who has ears. And if we all got ears. Everybody take their ears and hold, put them out. Touch your ears. You know, when you're a kid, you know, they say, you know, touch your nose, t- Touch your eyes, touch your mouth, touch your ears. Yes. You know, and when they're out like that, you almost look like a little. Yeah. Anyway. And it says, strove amongst themselves. They were perplexed. They didn't have an understanding. They were confused. And we all know confusion is not of God, right? Do we know that? Confusion is not of God. But anyway, and Jesus said to them, verily, verily. Whenever Jesus says verily, verily, means truly, truly. Listen, listen. I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now that sounds a little gross. Sounds like cannibalism, doesn't it? And once again, that's because we are having the mind of the world and the ears of the world. And we all know cannibalism was against the statutes of God back in Leviticus. It talks about that. So we you know, if you have any type of understanding of the Word of God, you know that he's not talking about and cutting his arm and putting it in the glass and drinking it. But once again, they had the mind of the world. They followed him. They were there when he got fed, and then when he left, they followed him. But they didn't have an understanding of him. See, they followed him because of what they wanted to get from him, church. They followed him because what they wanted to get from him, not because of him. They want to gratify their own self, what they wanted from. And we all have been there from one time or another, church. Come on now. We all have. But as we grow more and more and more in Christ, and as we get to know him more and more, we start having a deeper understanding of what he's talking about. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. You have to get in the Word of God and study that to see exactly what it's saying. And you always pray before you start reading the Bible and say, Lord, give me understanding of your Word. Give me an understanding. Let me understand your Word. Let me glean your Word. Let me retain your Word. And then let me apply your Word, Lord. Daily. I'm going to say this. And I don't need nobody to raise the hand. How many read your Bible every day? I don't want you to raise your hand. Mm-hmm. I said, don't raise your hand. That's something for everybody to think about. And hopefully there's a conviction. Hopefully there's a conviction. Because let me tell you something. You eat food every day, don't you? You drink every day, don't you? Absolutely you do. Why? Because it's necessity for you to live. And it's more of a necessity to get into the Word of God and read his Word every day. Which is more so than eating every day of food. Now, yes, we need to eat food to sustain ourselves, but he's talking about eternal life here. He's not talking about just this life that we're living. He's talking about eternal life. And it says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh of my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of his bread shall live forever. And these things they said to him in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many of his disciples, you know, we take that word disciple and we have a misunderstanding of what that truly means. His disciple. Now it says, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? These were disciples of Jesus. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? You see, once again, count the cost before you surrender your life to Jesus. Because let me tell you something. In order to serve Jesus, you had to give up everything. To surrender all. See, it wasn't a soft saying. It wasn't a comfortable saying. It wasn't a candy-coated saying. You see, it wasn't a tickle my ears what I want to hear saying. It wasn't a convenient saying. He said, the only way is you partake of my flesh and drink of my blood. And once again, they're thinking, once again, in the natural. Then it says, and Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmurs at it, and he said to them, do this offend you? Does this offend you when I tell you that if you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will go to hell? Does that make you mad? I can't tell you how many people I done ran out of here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because I'm telling the truth about Jesus Christ. It's a hard saying to surrender your life for Jesus. It's a hard saying for the Lordship of Jesus Christ to be in your life. It's a hard saying to say that God is first in my life. It's a hard saying. Matter of fact, the Bible says, even if you don't hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, and even yourself. That's a hard saying, isn't it? Woo! What do you mean? Hate my wife, hate my husband, hate my children, and even hate myself. Oh! What he's saying is that if you don't put me first, above your husband, above your wife, above your children, above everything, if you don't put me number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. What things? A understanding of what he's saying. I can understand what he's saying, you see. And even though it might be a hard saying, I'm willing to surrender and obey. Why? Because I love Jesus. That's why. Because I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. That's why. And then it says that, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Right there. It is the Spirit that quicketh or maketh alive, and the flesh profiteth nothing. That stinking thinking, that worldly thinking, profiteth nothing. But I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Well, wait a minute. These are some of his disciples. Some of his disciples did not believe. Huh? Ain't that what the Word of God said here? Because you see, a lot of those they call disciples because they have different terms of disciple. This here was those who were curious about Jesus. These here was the one who followed along to get something from Jesus. These here was the ones who just was hanging around to see what was going to happen next. See, they didn't have a heart for him. They didn't have a love for him, but they were always hanging around. Have you ever been dealing with people that all they want to do is just hang around? They don't want to help you do nothing. When you ask them to do something, oh, I got, you know what? I got eyebrowitis, my eyebrow hurt. I got to go rake the leaves. Always have an excuse, you see. They just want to hang around and get what they want from you, you see. That's what this word for disciple meant here. They were just those who hung around. And then it says, It says, and Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and that should betray him. And Jesus knew from the beginning. From the beginning. Not just when he saw them, not just when he was hanging around, when they were all hanging around here talking about praise the Lord, hallelujah, and this, that, and another. Jesus was standing back saying, I know your heart. I know you're just hanging around. I know you're just having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Disciple. Having a form of godliness. You know, do you want to hang around and hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is good. But you didn't have the power of God in you. You were just hanging around. And he said, therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given to him by my Father. There we go again. He's saying this over and over and over. It's not you. It's my Father that draws you. And from that time, many of his disciples, there we go again, that followed him, went to church every Sunday at First Baptist Church, came to prayer meeting every Tuesday at First Baptist Church, came to Bible study every Wednesday at First Baptist Church, hanging around. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, church, and I know that a lot of y'all have noticed this, we have a lot of people missing. Jesus said in the last days, there will be a great falling away. In the last days, those who hung around and hung around and hung around, there's going to come a time when they no longer want to hang around with Jesus. They want to go back into the world and do the things that they so well love to do. But for a season, or maybe two seasons, they hung around and hung around and hung around. Well, my Bible tells me, for those who God has brought to him, he says, I got you. I got you. You ain't going nowhere if you're real. If you're real. You hear what I'm saying? No demon in hell or Satan himself can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Because the Father has put you there. And when God opens up a door, no one can shut it. When God shuts the door, no one can open it up. That's why I tell you every Sunday to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. Because in the last days, many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. And thinking you on your way to heaven, when you get there, Jesus tell you, depart from me because I never knew you. Well, I was your disciple. I hung around. I was around. But your heart was far from me, you see. You had a motive. I don't know what your motive was. If you want people to think that you are holy and righteous and this, that, and other. Let me tell you something. You should not care what nobody in here thinks about you. You hear me? You should care nothing about what nobody think about you in here, because none of y'all are going to have to stand before nobody in here. We all going to have to stand before Jesus by ourselves. Can't stand with mommy and daddy. Husband and wife. No. You're going to stand in front of Jesus by yourself and give an account for everything that you did or not do. One day, church, and let me tell you something. My Bible tells me that it's coming soon. It could happen in a twinkling of an eye. You know, the other day I was riding down the street and I was trying to do a twinkle eye, you know. Because, you know, a twinkle of your eye is not batting your eyes, not blinking your eye. It's just a twinkle. You know what I mean? It's much, much quicker than a bat, you know? And so I was looking up in the sun. I was like, twinkle, twinkle. And I was thinking to myself, I could be gone just that fast. Twinkle. That quick. Be gone. Oh, what a wonderful day that'd be, huh? Driving down the street. Me and Don Foote. Having a wonderful conversation. And all of a sudden, Don Foote look over and pass it on. Twinkle. But then he'll twinkle too. Might take him a little longer. But anyway. But, you know, Jesus can come at any time, church. He can come right now. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Now, a lot of you say, yeah, I am. What makes you think that you're ready to stand in front of Jesus? What makes you think that? Because you come to church? Because you read your Bible? Because you put money in the basket for tithes and offering? You help people? You're going up there to the Salvation Army at Thanksgiving and help with the homeless and the meals and stuff? Remember they talk about what do we need to do to work the works of God? Believe on Jesus. Period. Period, church. Now, listen. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back. Went back where? Went back to the world and walked no more with Jesus. And Jesus said unto the 12, to the 12, these are his chosen ones. Not the ones who just came and followed him and hung out with him. You see, these are the ones that the Father has brought into his hands. And he says, and to the 12, will you also go away? Will you also leave like they did? Is this saying too hard for you? And Simon Peter, I love this. I love me some Peter. I love Peter. Because Peter, you know, he'll put his foot in his mouth in a minute. In a minute. But you know what? But God speaks through Peter. Who do people say that I am? John the Baptist, Jeremiah, you know, Isaiah, some of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? And here comes Peter. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Oh, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't tell you that, but my Father which is in heaven told you that. You got some ears, Peter. You hear what I'm saying? You still act ignorant from time to time, but you got some ears. You're hearing. And Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where can we go? Because you know why? Because we know that we know that we know that we've been called by God. We know that we know that we know that we have a heart and a love for you, Jesus. Yes, we do things that we shouldn't be doing, say things that we shouldn't be doing. But Lord, you know, Peter, if you love me, what do you say? Feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Lord, you know I love you. Peter, if you love me, Peter said, wait a minute. You didn't ask me this two times. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Ain't that what he said? You know that I love you. Now, let me ask you this. Does Jesus know that we love him? Oh, that's what we need to be asking ourselves. Do we know that Jesus knows that we love him? That's what we need to ask ourselves, church, and be real with it. Be real with it, because your eternal destination lies on that. If we love Jesus or not, or if we just hanging around, or if we having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. The reason I'm bringing this to you is because I love you. And I want all of us on that day that when that twinkle come, we all be gone. If the twinkle come here in 5 minutes, everybody be gone. Everybody in the church be gone. nobody be left behind, that we all be gone. That's my desire. That's why I that do what God has called me to do, to go out into highways and byways, you know what I mean, and preach and teach and encourage and counsel, you know, those who are in the highways and byways. You know, I don't minister, you know, to the doctors and the lawyers and the judges. And I mean, I will. And I have. But God has called me out here in the streets. He's called me to be out here with the downcast. You know, I tell a lot of our pastors all the time at the pastor's conference and meetings and things. And I said, God has called us to be fishers of men, right? I said, yeah. I said, whose pond are you fishing in? Huh? Whose pond are you fishing in? You know, the good family ponds, you know what I mean? The good families and, you know, have good careers and, you know, just everybody's doing this wonderful. Or are you going out here fishing in Satan's pond? Because, see, there's bottom feeders down there. And in order to get the bottom feeders, you got to go down into the bottom. You can't stand up on top and fly fish for the bottom feeders, for those of y'all who know about fishing. I don't know too much about it because I don't catch none, evidently. I like to say that but evidently I'm not, because there's no proof in the pudding there, you know. But, you know, yes, we have to go into all the world, to the unlovely, to those who are over there sleeping in J.B. Wise parking lot. Oh, I don't know what they'll do to me. I don't know, you know. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And don't go over it by yourself. Don't go over it by yourself. Get a group of you. Go over and say, may I pray with you? Now, y'all might get called a few names, as Jesus did, you know. But people don't know you care until they see that you care. Amen. You know, we minister to everybody, to the prostitute, to the homeless, to the drug addicts, drug dealers, to the homosexuals, any and every, the whosoever's. Absolutely, we do. We might not love what you're doing, but we're going to love you. We're going to bring you the word of God. We're not going to tickle your ears. We're not going to make you feel good and condone the sin that you're living in. We're going to tell you the truth in love, because you know why? Because we want you to inherit the kingdom of God, regardless of how you lived your life. As long as you're breathing, there's hope. And Simon Peter answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and says, have not I chosen you 12? But one of you is a devil. Ooh. Why would Jesus choose a devil, that you ask, to fulfill the prophecy? To fulfill the prophecy of him being crucified on the cross. You see. And he says, he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that betrayed him, being one of the 12. That one, that Jesus picked himself. God picked him and brought him to Jesus. But he had to have somebody to fulfill the prophecies of that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be that one, you see. Judas, he was in the inner circle. Not just the those who were hanging around, all the multitudes. He was in the inner circle. Everywhere Jesus went, Judas was there. Where Jesus slept, Judas was there. Where Jesus ate, Judas was there. All the time. All the time. Now, what is believing in Jesus really means? What does it mean to eat his flesh and drink his blood? To believe on him, to trust him, to rely on him, to love him, to serve him, to be all in, totally surrendered. Surrendered for what? Forgiveness of your sins. For the acceptance of God, adoptions of sons and daughters, to access the throne of grace, the promises of the covenant of grace, and eternal life. That's what it really means to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Just like we do the first Sunday of the month, we use the bread as his body, right? And we eat that, right? And we take the cup and we drink that representing his blood, right? Why do we do that? Jesus says, as often as you do this, do what? Remember what of him? Remember how much he loves us. Remember how much he has sacrificed for you. Remember that in him and him only is eternal life with God. That's what we need to remember. That's what it truly means to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. To know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ, period, is the only one that I need. And it should get to a point where is the only one that I desire. You seek what you desire. That's how you can tell where you are. What do you desire? What are you seeking? That's something we all need to ask ourselves. What are you seeking? What do you desire? They are meat and drink for our souls. It's the only, Jesus is the only thing that can satisfy us completely. Now, when I was out there doing drugs, I was satisfied for as long as the drugs was on. You know, and I'm out here, you know, partying and all the stuff that I'm doing. It felt good for a while. But let me tell you something. I'm drunk on the Holy Spirit every day. Every day. Every day. And you know what? It don't cost me no money. And it's legal. I don't worry. I have to worry about the police kicking in my door. Tell me, oh, you drunk again, Pastor. Yes, I am. Praise the Lord. Come on in here and get you some of this. Get you some of this. Praise the Lord. You know, last Sunday was the first Sunday that we had in-service jail services for the jail down there. Let me tell you something. It was good. And I told everybody Wednesday night, you know, to be honest with you, they changed the hours, you know, and, you know, don't go in now to 5 in the evening, you know, and 6, you know, I got my pajamas on. I'm close. So I'm thinking, wow, they done changed the hours. I got to go down here. You know, I preached this morning. My knee hurt. And you know it all. I was murmuring just like these. I'm murmuring and complaining. Why, Lord? And I tell you, I got up in there. And you talking about good anointing. Woo! It was over 30-something inmates received Jesus Christ last week. You talking about something that was good? I walked out of there, boy, hands in there. Thank you, Jesus! You know they got cameras, too, out there. They see everything. Thank you, Jesus! Praise the Lord! God is good! I'm hollering when I'm walking out that door. And then I had to stop when I got in my car and say, Lord, forgive me for when I first came in. Forgive me for my whining and complaining and all of that there. You know, I walked out there, my heart was full. Yes, my precious, my heart was full. Yes, I was so thankful, so thankful. I might go back down there today. No, I have to share. You know, I have to share it. But anyway, I just want to say what a blessing it is to live for Jesus, isn't it? What a wonderful, wonderful thing to be totally satisfied with Jesus Christ, period, and nothing else. Don't need nothing else. Don't want nothing else. Don't desire nothing else. All I want is Jesus and more of Jesus and more of Jesus. Every day I want more and more of Jesus. And you know why I want more and more and more? Because I'm learning more and more about how much He loves me. Oh, let me tell you something. When you know somebody loves you unconditionally, you can't help but just have an open heart. Even when you do wrong, He still embraces you and still whispers in your ear, "You are my child and I love you. I don't like what you did, but I love you." Oh, let me tell you something. That brings us closer and closer and closer to Jesus every day. How many people in here love Jesus? Amen. Amen. Because He loves you. He loves you. And even if you're sitting here thinking, "Well, how can He love me because I'm going through this and I got this and I got that, that, that." Let me tell you something. He loves you regardless of what you're going through. And a lot of times he will put stuff in your life for you to go through to draw you closer to Him. Because the only time that you really call out to Him is when you're in trouble. So guess what? I'm going to keep you in trouble. Until you come to a point. Until you come to a point. You know how people say, "Oh, this, you know, it happened, this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened." Start obeying Jesus. Start obeying Jesus and loving Him. Oh, what a blessed He is. If you're here this morning and you want more Jesus, the altar's open. You can come and pray and ask God to give you more and more of Him. But the best thing for you to do is start obeying Him. Start obeying Him every day. Wake up in the morning. "Lord, I'm going to serve You today. Lord, give me what You want me to have. Show me what You want me to do. Take me where You want me to go. Not me, but You, Lord." And then the second part of that, "Lord, I only want what You want for me, period. Whether it's hard, whether it's difficult, or whatever it is, I only want what You want for me today, Lord." And see how your life will change. It's a process, though, getting there. It's a process, but you can get there. I just want to say that I love y'all. It's an honor and a privilege to be your under-shepherd. And I mean that. But with that, I'm going to take a little break. Yes, I'm taking a little break. I'm leaving out of here. I wish I could leave tonight, but leaving out here in the morning. Now, I want you, yes. Amen. Amen. Pray. Thank you. Amen. And see, that's what it's all about. And let me correct you. This is not my church. I know. All right. Our church. That's right. Because we're the church. That's right. But, you know, and that's what it's about, you know. And I've been watching you, you know, and you've been making great strides, you know. But we all still have more to do. We all still have more to do, you know, each and every day. But, you know, I just want, like I say, I love you guys. I appreciate you. And in my absence, you know, our elders are going to be here, Elder Tom and Elder Paul back there. And so if you have anything that you need to whine about, go straight to them. And you know, we all have other people that are here. Brother John Ivan, you can go to him. Perry, Bill Baker, Mark. Back there, you know what I mean? Brother Priest, you know, so, and there's so many, Brother Ron, Tim. Matter of fact, put him number one on your list if you're whining. You call him anytime of day or night, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, give him a call. Praise the Lord, because he's working for the Lord. Yes. Call him, Mikey. Get him, Mikey. Get his number, Mikey. Yeah. You know what? Mikey will call you and he say, "What are you doing?" And I said, "What's up?" I said, "I'm bored." But I love Mikey. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. You are worthy, Lord. I just ask, Father God, that each and every one of us, Lord, will search ourselves and, Lord, just have more and more desire for you. And, Lord, that our ears will be open to what you have to say to us in the spirit, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know that the natural things that we hear, a lot of it is not good. But, Lord, everything we hear from you is great. So, Lord, give us ears to hear. And, God, give us a heart and a mind and a spirit to be obedient to you. Lord, I pray for travel and mercy for everybody going home. I pray, Father God, for tomorrow, if you count us worthy to give us breath another day, that we will want more of you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.